Amen. Shofar supports that ministry, and the purpose that I showed it to you was so that you could also see how many believers are in that unfortunate position not to have Bibles, where we might have two or three next to our bedside table, and how excited they are to receive a Bible. And we've experienced that firsthand as well. In fact, my first Shofar mission trip was also Reno. We went together to Malawi, and we also handed out Bibles there in Malawi. We took also a couple of boxes of Bibles with, and we went to some remote places there. And, you know, when we handed out Bibles to a church, to a congregation at one point, you know, realized that not even the pastor had a Bible. And you can imagine how difficult that work is for a pastor without a Bible, or at least it opens them up to so much more revelation, because there they are just relying on the teaching they've received and on the guidance of the Holy Spirit without even having the Word of God in print in front of them that they can study and go through, you know, whenever they want and so on. So it really is a massive need. I mean, those stats are crazy. 500 million Christians around the world without the Word of God. And we've heard so many testimonies of churches springing up in the Middle East as a result of one page that slipped out of some missionary's Bible along the way or something. And there that seed got planted and the church grew. And so a Bible is powerful. And we're going to look at a few scriptures this afternoon, just around the Word of God, scriptures that you should know by now, but are just really trusting the Lord for an encouragement to really get even more stuck into the Word of God, because it will transform your life and the lives, and it will empower you to transform lives around you more than many other things that we can encourage each other to do, the Word of God. The last couple of weeks in Table View, I've been ministering from the book of Acts and been challenged. You know, there's so many churches that say, I want to be an Acts 29 church and whatever. And that's true for all of us because we are living in that era. It's not meant to stop what we read about there in Acts. And then it's followed by, you know, the epistles and teaching of how to follow the Lord. But there in the book of Acts, we see the church in action. We see a image of what would be awesome for us to experience as a church in this day and age. The power that was manifest there wasn't only meant for that time. We have received the same Holy Spirit that they received. It's not like the Holy Spirit has gone on holiday. It's not like there's no sick people that need healing. So God is good, and I was challenged in right in Acts chapter 2 already, seeing that the believers were coming together daily in the temple, and then also from house to house, breaking bread together. But daily they were learning from the scriptures. Daily they were praying together. And the results that we see in Acts are awesome. We want the same results, but from our side, we are not willing to cooperate in the same way, or we're not coming to the party, let's use that expression, in the same way as the believers were in the time of Acts. They were coming together daily. You know, and in Table View, we've got three weekly church gatherings that we really try and push and encourage the people to attend. And that's obviously the church service and its small groups. And it's our intercession meeting, our prayer meeting. And, you know, I'm really trusting the Lord to really strengthen that core and that foundation. It's when we come together that the Lord can really bring unity and that He can bring momentum. And when we see that combined faith, then we can really move a lot of mountains. So I want to encourage you as well to use every opportunity to come together as a church, every opportunity that's presented. And we have understanding for different schedules and shift work and so on. But wherever possible, that it becomes a priority for us to get together as a church and just wait on the Lord and then move in obedience to what He shows us. And I promise you, you can put your faith out for the same miracles that you see in the book of Acts. But we need to come together. There's a blessing that rests on unity that we cannot have access to when we are isolated and alone. There's a different, whole different anointing when we come together. It's special, and it's special to the Lord to have His children together. I know as a parent, it is so special when the whole family is together. And I've spoken to other parents, and I've counseled families where there's strife and conflict among siblings. And that is something that hurts a parent like nothing else, when their children are fighting. And that's often what keeps churches apart and separate, even within a church congregation. What keeps people segregated when we have an offense. And, you know, I'm not going to go to that meeting or that small group because so-and-so is going to be there. It's just, you know, let us sort out our differences, our offenses. We brothers and sisters, we mustn't forget that we're a family that supersedes every other family. We're a family, the family of God. We, as brothers and sisters, we must be able to talk about our offenses. If you hurt me, I must be able to go to you and say, hey, look, that thing, it really upset me. 10-1, it was a misunderstanding. That's how most things work. And we just give each other opportunity to get over it, reconcile, and move on. But that there be unity, but there cannot be unity if we neglect coming together. So I just want to emphasize that here as well. It's something that, as I said, I've been talking to the guys about in Table View, and I'm really trusting the Lord that there's just going to be a blessing coming out of that. As I said, one of the things the believers were doing is they were studying Scripture daily, and they were doing it together as well. Now, that's a blessing of coming to church. You've got approved and appointed leaders that are ministering the Word to you. What's very important when we promote people to leadership, more important than how many degrees they have or whatever, is character and the call of God on someone's life. And so all I want to say to you is the leaders that you guys have in Shofar, and your leaders here, Reina and Liana, and Marnus and Janet, these are really people that love the Lord, and you can trust them. You can trust them when they teach you something. You can trust them. They didn't appoint themselves. There's a call of God on their lives, and there's confirmation with the rest of the leadership. And so we come together and we learn from each other. You're learning from your leaders, and you also, as the leaders in small groups and so on, you go and encourage and facilitate growth in people's lives as well. And we've got Bible school and the Encounter series and all of these opportunities to come together and learn from the Word of God. You know, the believers in the time of Acts, they'd probably sit here and think, okay, what time does tomorrow's meeting start? And we're like, we don't have a meeting tomorrow. I don't know, maybe you do a meeting. But, you know, and they're like, no, Wednesday night. And these, they'll be like, what? How can you wait till Wednesday to get together? You know, so let us use our opportunities, and we trust the Lord even to multiply that, that we can spend more time together. Hey, bad company corrupts good morals. The opposite is true. When believers come together, awesome things happen, and your life changes in a great way. And so I'm going to pray now before I start talking about what I actually want to talk about. It's Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you again for the blessing of being able to come together to be called your children, family of the living God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you never disappoint us. Every time we come together, you bless us, Lord God, and we experience something so precious of you, Lord. And we leave here different, not the same as we came in. Lord, you are faithful to continue and complete the work that you have begun in us. And we just submit ourselves this afternoon, Lord, to your working, Father, in our lives. And we thank you for what you've already done here this afternoon. And Father, we just want to thank you that we can just sit under your word as well. And we pray, Lord, as you say in your word, where you watch over your word and you're ready to perform it. Lord, come and perform it in our lives. And I pray this afternoon, especially for all of us here, Lord, that you would give us a greater love and appreciation, Lord, of your word, Lord, and how privileged we are to have your word when so many of our brothers and sisters don't. And Father, we just want to thank you that as a church, we also have really a strong heart to reach out, Lord. And when we go on missions, we also distribute Bibles and so on. And Father, we just want to thank you for that opportunity that we've also had to be able to distribute your word to those that don't have it. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just multiply, Lord, the efforts of the believers who are privileged to be able to give to those who are less privileged, Father. And we also just speak a blessing over this Bibles for Believers organization. We pray that you'll multiply their efforts as well, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. So that is a picture that I took yesterday. Okay. Now you heard our little baby was sick this week. Now I had my father had planned something a while back and bought a flight for myself and him to go up to Artis. And he bought a vehicle up there that he needed my help to drive down. So yeah, the last 2 days I was now driving down with him. And yeah, I just thank God our little boy is all better. And we brought him home this afternoon. But that picture was taken somewhere. I know where it was, but you want to have a guess where that was taken. Does anyone know where that is? It's in South Africa. Okay. I'll help you out. That's in the Karoo, a part of the Karoo called the Tankwa. Okay. So that's kind of if you're coming down from Upington, and you're off the beaten track and you're going through the Karoo and you come out there at Sirius, you find a tar road again. Okay. So it's hundreds of kilometers on gravel road. And my father really enjoyed it. He's got a car that loves off-road. So, yeah, it was all good. Now, if you didn't have the annoying GPS that my father has, you also wouldn't know exactly where you are if I had to put you down there, wake you up in the middle of the night and put you down there on that road. You wouldn't have a clue where you are in the world. Okay. Now, keep that in mind for later. That is the road less traveled. If we saw two cars yesterday on like 400k stretch of road, then that was a lot. We definitely saw one car. I'm not sure if we saw another car. Okay. So that is the road less traveled. What I want to say by that today as well is that this, the Word of God, laying out the way of salvation and where God is going to show you a great deal of your specific calling and purpose in life. He'll reveal to you also through his word. The word of God, which shows us how to follow Jesus, teaches us how to live godly lives, is, if we look in our culture today, the road less traveled. If we have to go on what we see around us, on the evidence of people's actions and words, their lives around us, it seems to be the road less traveled. Now, it's an old cliche that says it takes a dead fish to be able to go with the flow, to go downstream with the rest of the fish. It takes a live fish to be able to swim upstream. Following the Lord, following the Word of God is never going to be easy. It's frequently uncomfortable. It is always blessed. And I want to encourage you that all of us need a roadmap in this life. All of us need to stay on the path, the road that the Lord has for us. And guess what? That your road is going to be a unique one. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I think of South Africa. Think of the whole road network through South Africa. Tar, gravel, the works. There's a lot of roads in this country. Most of them are being worked on at the moment. Anyway, where I've been recently, but there's a lot of roads. Now think of your life journey from being born till you die. And I hope that it's a full life for all of you. Let's say 100 years, 100 plus. Okay. Now think of your life journey as a route between two points. one place of where you're born and a completely different place in the country representing your last day. And then your journey to get there is now your life's journey. Okay, now each one of you is going to have a completely different route. Okay, now there's a journey between those two points. There's a sequence of roads and turns that the Lord wants you to be on. And if you don't inquire of the Lord, if you don't heed His word, you don't have any hope of being on that road. You'll have a different road between those two points. If you stay away from the Word of God, or if you are just a hearer of the Word, you'll have a couple of accidents along the way. Now, with the Word of God and inquiring of the Lord what He wants for you, it's not going to be a flat road. There will be turns. There will be mountains and valleys. There's going to be times you're going to have to work harder to stay on the road. But you're not going to crash and burn. And there's going to be a lot of unknowns over the next mountain, around the next turn. The question is, do you want to go that alone? Do you really think you can make it? Think of the whole road network again. You don't have a map. You don't have a GPS. And you just headed somewhere. And suffice to say, with God, your destination is going to be a certain place. Without God and without His word, your destination is going to be somewhere else. Not very blessed. Now the Lord, okay, you get that. You can open your eyes. The Lord has not just given us His word and a roadmap for life on earth. He has gone beyond the grave. He has gone beyond death. Through Jesus, death has lost its sting. Death is not the end. For a Christian, death is not the end. It is merely a transition. It's merely a doorway to an amazing eternity with God. That is the hope we have. That is what we look forward to. Jesus conquered sin and death at the cross. And the Bible takes us beyond the grave. It shows us, it gives us a glimpse of what we can even expect for an eternity. It shows us the one, reveals to us the one that we are going to spend an eternity with. The only one that we are going to be focused on for an eternity after the grave. Right now, we have lots of distractions. Then, praise God, there won't be any distractions. And the Bible right now is the number one place where you can start to experience and get to know the one that you are going to be focused on for an eternity. And that is God knows, that is the most blessed state that we can be in, is when we are completely consumed in focus on Him. You can have that now. You can live in the Word. You can walk in the Spirit. You can be connected to God 24/7. Now we all say, yes, but I have to put bread on the table, so I have to go to work and do my job. And this is the awesome blessedness and maybe a sermon for another day, is that you can be connected with the Spirit and even pray in the Spirit where your mind isn't praying. You're not praying with your understanding. Your spirit man is praying. And so you can be connected to God 24/7 and still do an amazing job, you know, and get all the accolades at work because your ethic of work is so good. Put food on the table and all the rest. So, God, do not compartmentalize Him in your life. Don't put Him in a category. He wants to be in every aspect of your life. Keep Him the center of everything. Keep Him the center of your work. Know that your work or what you're studying, He has given you that opportunity. He's the one that's going to promote you. He provides for you. And what you're busy doing is meant to be for the benefit of others. And invite him in, invite him to bless your work. Keep him in the loop the whole time. Acknowledge him in your studies, in your work, in your family life. Ask yourself those questions. How is God evident in every aspect of my daily life? Is God evident in my eating, my decision making concerning my food? Because God would want you to look after your temple, temple of the Holy Spirit, your body. Are you eating healthy? Have you considered, have you prayed about what you're eating? There's a million diets out there. Have you tried the "let's pray about what I should eat" diet? That'd be pretty awesome. God will show you straight away, that thing not good for you. Yes, Tim Noakes says it's good, but that's not good for you. Maybe you got some other kind of metabolism thing happening. Okay. Pray. God's got all the answers. He knows you better than Tim Noakes knows you. I'm not knocking Tim Noakes. I'm sure he's awesome. But God's more awesome. Pray about that. Have you prayed about what transport you should take to wherever you need to be in the day? Have you prayed where you are during the day? You know, have you asked God, what's the deal with the people around me at my work or my classmates? What's happening in their life? What can I pray for? How are you including God when you get home, your family? Is God evident there? Do you have some family time where you guys pray together or talk about the word with each other? How's God evident there in the decisions that you take as a family about where you're going to live and what you guys are going to do for the weekend and whatever? Has God been acknowledged or included in those decisions? Do you inquire of the Lord? See, there's a lot that we can do to get God more into our lives in the picture. Okay, and so the Word of God has to feature as well. We'll never outgrow the Word of God. I don't care if you've read it 10 times cover to cover. You're never going to reach a point where you can say, okay, I've really read the Bible now. I've read 3 different translations, each one twice and whatever. So I can put the Word of God away for a few years and just focus on Joyce Meyer. What she has, and Auntie Joyce is awesome. We all love Auntie Joyce. But you're never going to come to a place where you've outgrown the Word. Anyone say anything like that to you, you know, they're very deceived and you need to pray for them. So, the Word of God, the point is, this is not just a book. This right here is supernatural, the Bible. Sorry, my kids got hold of it. But this is my handy carry-on Bible. I brought this along as well. And I know Raina agrees that this is a really, really good translation, the English Standard Version. And it's a great study Bible. It's a bit more bulky, so you'll probably leave it at home. But where you can read in at home, and it's got cool notes and commentaries and things like that, and it's a very good easy reading translation as well. So that's quite a nice one to have. There's a couple of good translations, New International Version, New King James Version. Look, all the Bibles are good. They're all good, don't get me wrong. But some are better for study purposes than others. You'll get easy reading ones like the Message and so on, but I think it just leaves more kind of is a bit more open to misinterpretation because of the more modern day English and some slang and that kind of a thing. You get a street Bible where it's like, yo, bro, and this and that, seriously. And that's also, it's fun to read, you know. Raina tells me you get a comic strip Bible if you're into asterisk and obliques and stuff like that. But let's just say for study purposes, some translations are better than others. And some also read easier if you're reading in public and that kind of thing. So you can also just inquire of your pastors and so on, what if you're considering. But I'd really, every couple of years at least, get a new Bible and maybe a different translation. It's good to read different translations. Kind of going to give you a slightly fuller picture. Because, you know, just written also predominantly, because you'll have the same scripture with the same meaning just written in a slightly different way. You know, maybe I forget my English grammar stuff, but anyway, like the V and the N and the A, maybe they switched around different places of the sentence, And the sentence is just constructed slightly differently. Same meaning coming out the end, everything like that. But you're reading it in a fresh way, because now what happens when you read the same scriptures over and over in the same translation, you know the first word and the last word of that verse, and you almost skim over that verse, and you actually start missing the meat and the meat in it. It's the same as, you know, they get those emailers that they send around, and then you can actually read a whole paragraph where only the first letter and the last letter of the word are where they're meant to be. The rest are jumbled up, but you actually read it. You know what I'm talking about? And I think the same happens with the word, because we're so familiar with this, with the verses, and we just start skimming over it. When you start reading a new translation and they say exactly the same thing, just a bit different, suddenly you're reading it again like you're reading it for the first time, and it just, you know, sits in your heart again like it should. So I encourage you, read different translations. Get yourself a new Bible. Maybe you should do that this week. Go and buy a new Bible. Awesome. And if you want to start all over again, like, okay, where's a good place to start reading the word? If you guys, maybe as a cell group or something, you guys want to get a reading plan going where you just encourage each other in the word, whether you're reading a chapter a day or more than that. And a good place to start is the Maverick Gospel, the book of John, which is kind of like, let's call it the fullest kind of account of Jesus' followers with him. You had Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's like if we have to follow Reino every day, you know, four of us, and we have to then write down in the evening everything he did, you'd get the gist of what he did, but you'd kind of get slightly different accounts because it's looking at the same coin from a slightly different angle. And, you know, that you get that with the gospel as well. That's why it's awesome to read all the gospels. Book of John is a good place to start, the fourth book of the New Testament. Then you can go back and read again Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then you read the whole New Testament. And then you can start at the Old Testament, just to make sure that we don't have goats and things in church next Sunday, that you don't get it wrong, you know. You need to know where to start. We're living in the New Testament, and the Old Testament's really important for the background and teaches us a lot about who God is. He hasn't changed, but he had a perfect plan for us all along, and different aspects he set in motion at different times, culminating obviously in giving his son, which he showed us from the beginning. When we look back now, we can see that was obviously his plan all along. So the Old Testament is awesome, and it's a history, and it's beautiful poetry and worship unto the Lord through the Psalms and the prophets that speak God's message to his people. And we can generally see God's plan of blessing that he has for his children through the Israelites that he chose. And it's really awesome. But get stuck into the word again. Get yourself a reading plan. Read systematically so you don't have to hop around. And, you know, we don't play Russian roulette with the Bible, because if you go and put your finger on a certain verse like that, in the same way the man with two earned two more. Oh, what does that mean for me today? You know, we don't – that's not a wise way to do things. Okay. I'm not saying that sometimes the Lord doesn't want you to do that, but that will probably be once in a blue moon. Okay. So mostly the Lord is a God of order and discipline, and he would like you to actually start somewhere in his word and read his word. Okay. We don't have to hop around like fast food. So you start reading, and then tomorrow you just continue where you left off. But to get into the word of God is very important. I don't know about you guys. I enjoy breakfast now. For years, I actually skipped breakfast because you're like just in a rush from when you wake up. Like life just starts happening to you and you can wait till lunchtime. But now I'm really enjoying breakfast again. I don't know if it shows, but, you know, get that protein in the morning. And I've just had, the Lord has shown me something through that. You know, I've really, right now, I have a strong desire never to leave home without first having spent time in the Word. You know, I mean, sometimes previously, you know, as I said, life can happen and you like, you play catch up, and that's not good. Okay, so just like I know breakfast, I'm realizing now breakfast is an important meal for good reason. It's like just a fresh revelation from the Lord. Like, I do not want to leave home. I dare not leave home without first having read the Word of God. Okay. It's just going to set you up for your day. And the Lord, as I said, it's a roadmap for your life. Okay. There's a path that the Lord has set out for you. Good works that He planned for you, that He wants you to walk in. And you're going to find it to a large extent in the Word. You will not be able to escape reading the Word if you want to find out God's plan for your life. And so the Word is like breakfast is food for your body physically. The Word is food for your spirit. Matthew 4 verse 4. Man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This is food for your spirit. You've heard the analogy of that we all have like two wolves inside. Let's sketch that picture. Okay, and they're kind of at war with each other. And then you ask yourself, well, which one's going to win? And the answer is the one that you feed the most. You've got to starve the one and feed the other. Now, the bad wolf is getting fed, whether you like it or not, by stuff that you inadvertently get exposed to every day as you're out there, things that you hear people saying around you that you don't have control over. It is the onus is on you to feed the good wolf, okay, with the Word of God. So you better make sure he gets more food than the bad wolf. Okay, you guys get that picture. Okay, you need to feed your spirit man. If you're feeling a bit faithless or a bit weak in your faith right now, the best way that you can strengthen your faith, your spirit man, spend time in the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Okay. Let us spend time in the Word. I want to encourage you tonight to really just to cultivate that desire and that hunger again for the Word of God. I trust the Lord for just a supernatural deposit of grace and a hunger for His Word. Because it's really not just words like in other books. This is the Word of God. This is Jesus in print. It goes deeper than the words on the page. This is about getting to know the love of your soul, the author of life. You know, after Jesus fed the 5,000, a lot of people followed Him to the next town. They were waiting for Him there. Remember, He climbed on the boat to kind of escape the crowds. He pulled in to the next town, and there was lots of people waiting for Him. And He knew they were waiting just to see another show. They were waiting for another sign and wonder. They were not there for the right reason. They were not there for Him. And so, in the way that He does, He got right to their hearts, and they were offended at being shown up like that. And they left. And then Jesus turned to His own disciples, Peter and the gang. And He said, okay, are you guys also going to leave now? You know, because these guys were just here to see more food multiply. And Peter said, no, Lord, where would we go? You have the words of life. Now this is Jesus in print. I don't know about you, but this little Bible here has the words of Jesus in red. That's why I said the gospel is a very good place to start. And you just prayed, God, show me Jesus Christ. Jesus, reveal yourself to me through your word. These are the words of life. These are the words of life. You want life. You want true life. Do you feel like you're really living? Yes, words of life. This is life that no amazing cereal or diet can give you. People say, oh, if you just eat this and that, you'll have so much energy and you'll feel on top of the world. Nothing can come close to what this will do for you in terms of giving life and longevity. Hey, eternal life. Hello. Let's get back into the Word. Let's cultivate once more a love for the Word. Let's be known as a people who love God's Word. God upholds His word very high. Even above His name, His word. You need to get back there. The next slide, 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21. First of all, you should know, No prophecy of Scripture comes from one's own interpretation, because no prophecy ever came by the will of man. Instead, men spoke from God as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There's something I want to emphasize beyond any shadow of doubt. You need to know this, that every word that's in your Bible was meant to be there. God meant it to be there. It is from Him. A lot of people want to argue with you, but this was written by men. Yes, it was written by men. When we pray for a brother who's sick and he gets supernaturally healed, yes, a man put his hands on him. A man didn't heal him. God healed him. A man didn't write this. God wrote this. This is God breathed. Like we prophesy, and God shows us a word for the church or something, and gives us a picture to share with someone. He leads you as you're praying for someone. Much the same way God showed men what His heart was, what He wanted written down, what He wanted compiled in the Bible. And this is now complete, the Word of God. It's complete. And we are super blessed to have the Word of God like this. We can run down to most bookstores and buy a copy. And we've got amazing Christian bookstores around the corner as well. Awesome. We've got a couple of copies at home. And there's brothers and sisters that are hundreds of kilometers away from the closest Bible. Let us just once more value what God has given us in the Bible. This is His word to us. We wonder, God, sometimes we wonder, God, where are you? I wish I could see you. I wish I could hear you. And we've got a Bible sitting right next to us. It's right there. He's inviting you to get stuck in. We can't say we really want Him or need Him if we don't make any time for the Word. We need to get back in. This is not to bring condemnation tonight. I want to encourage you, get back in. The Lord's not holding it against you that if you've neglected your time in the Word, or if it's just like a rush thing for you. No, He's encouraging all of us more. And if you're already spending half an hour in the Word every day, like solid, He's encouraging you more. We need to keep growing. We need to keep going deeper. If we aren't moving forward, if we're not growing, then we're losing ground. Then we're backsliding. We need to keep growing. The Lord has awesome things locked up, stored up for you. You're going to encounter a lot of that through the Word. He wants to direct you. You can trust in this Word of God from Genesis to Revelations. You can trust in this. You can put your life on this. Jesus gave His life. His life, death, and resurrection is central to what we have here. You can trust the Bible with your life. And there's many believers that do mission work in countries where the Word of God is illegal. They lock people up if they find a Bible in your possession. Believers put their lives on the line to distribute Bibles because they know what it means to people. Let us get stuck in for the sake of those people. Let us strengthen our faith so we can be an example. Amen. The world is hungry for God's Word. The world is hungry for God's Word. Let us have that same hunger. Now, the next picture, you see there, is also there in the Karoo, and there's a big exclamation and a warning sign. Make sure that you're not going faster than 80, loose rocks, and watch the bend up ahead and everything. I want to tell you, the Word of God has many functions. One of those is to warn us as well, to correct us. If we find ourselves driving at 100 k's an hour, we realize, hey, I'm running the risk of high risk of getting into trouble, causing an accident or something. I need to slow it down. Correct us. You see the next scripture, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, 16 and 17. All scripture inspired by God. It is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, or correcting, training in righteousness, so the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This Bible is going to make you ready. Ready for what? Ready for eternity, ready for life. This is going to make you ready. Without this, you're going to bump your head a few times. The Bible is like the road signs in the country. If you remove every road sign in the country, you're not going to know where you are, but you're not going to know about the hep and bend that's coming up while you cruising along at 120 k's per hour. There's going to be carnage on the road. If right now you have to remove every road sign, every traffic light, every stop sign, imagine. There'll be like a million accidents within the first minute in South Africa. Okay, it'll be really freaky. Now the Bible, that's how people live. People live going head first, bumping their heads, hurting themselves and people around them. They're not submitting to the Word of God. When our lives are in a mess, very often it's because we have not heeded the word of the Lord. It's also not good enough to just be a hearer. We need to be doers. See, we can sit in church. We can come to our weekly gatherings and small groups. We can hear what people have to say. And that's not good enough. See, if we're religious about it, then we will think that's good enough because I'm doing my part. I'm there. And it's kind of more about the rituals, the ceremony, the habits, and whatever. And we miss the whole heart of it. We hear, we're exposed to the Word of God, and that's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But you need to go a step further. You need to do it as well. Otherwise, the storms will come, and your house will be like the house built on the sand. You don't want that. You want to build your house on the rock. And that involves doing what the Word says. Hearing the Word but not mixing it with faith is going to run you into trouble as well. As I said, this is inspired by God. You can believe it. And when God asks you to do something, it's not a suggestion. It's God asking you to do something. When your boss asks you to do something, I bet you do it. Who's more important, God or your boss? Who's bigger? Who has more of an outcome and a say in your in the outcome of your life? God. When He says something, we must be like, yes, Lord, definitely. Why didn't I think of that first? I'm going. Okay. No, you don't have to ask that person to, I want to, really. You know? That must be us. Lord, yesterday, when it was done, yesterday. Not tomorrow, Lord, maybe tomorrow. Yeah, I'll see if I can fit it in. Like, no, yesterday. Amen. Okay, this is going to keep you on the right road. You want to know where to go. You need the signpost. If you don't have that annoying GPS, you know, that's like, in my analogy tonight, that's like the devil, the GPS. Because, I mean, you come into one of these small one-horse towns that I know none of you are from, and I mean it in a good way because it's cute, but then the GPS has you going in circles in this town before it lets you out again. It's like the GPS wants to check out the town or something. You know, it's like, no, turn right here, turn right again. It's like, no, you know. Okay. But the signs, I'm like to my father, just leave the GPS. There's a sign that says go straight. Let's just go with the sign. But the GPS says we must go right. No. Okay. So this is like the good old signs. You can't go wrong. In most countries today, you know, if you can read, the signs will take you where you know you need to go. And the Bible, if you can read, you can find out what God's plan is for you. I know we can all read. But if for some reason you don't have time to read, you're like fully consumed with other things all the time, but you have time to listen, then at least get yourself an audio Bible. Put it on your iPod or something and just get the word in however you can. Best is to read, because then you can actually go backwards and forwards much easier than not trying to pause and rewind and, you know, what could that verse say again? And you can look at the word and you can take the word apart, you know, verse apart word for word and get really stuck into it with a book that you cannot do I suppose somehow you can do it with what are those things called, those readers, e-readers and whatever, but this is good stuff. I don't think we'll ever like outgrow the Bible. I think it's very handy having the Bible on your phone as well. That is handy. But yeah, get stuck into the Word. So it is there to make you ready. You got to be action ready. People, we're in a war. This is the strategy. This is the battle plan from your general. You need to find out what it is. Okay. We don't want to stay stuck in boot camp. You've been enrolled and enlisted so that you can get out there and advance the kingdom. What kind of a soldier are we if we like don't even bother going to the debriefing sessions and finding out, now where do you want to position me? Where am I meant to go in the battle? And so you know what? That's a daily commitment. The believers in Acts, they were spending time in the scriptures every day. Spending time in the scriptures. We need to be ready. And how do you approach the word? Let me tell you, if you've read the Bible 10 times already, maybe there's someone, yeah, that's read through the whole Bible 10 times already. I know our elder in our church, he's read through the Bible probably about 30 times in his life. That's quite a lot. That's impressive. Okay, that's a ballpark figure because he's got a one-year Bible that he reads faithfully every year since he got saved. And he's been saved for over 30 years. So that is awesome, and he still reads his one-year Bible faithfully every year. You can never get enough for it. And you must always approach it with a humility and a teachability, realizing that, hey, this is going to tell me what God's heart is, what His plans are for me. And I'm going to read, I don't have to read very far to find something that I'm not doing according to the Word. And then it's not negotiation time or wondering now, Lord, is it okay for me to continue operating the way I am, or mustn't I really do this? Is this part maybe a suggestion, or what is happening here? We have to approach the Bible with a teachability and a willingness to change. We must actually go hungry to change. Say, Lord, show me something here that I can start doing differently in my life, doing it according to your word. Show me through your word something that I'm not doing right. And you know, when you see it and when you find it, you can console yourself that it's not in your own strength that you're going to adhere to that word. You just need to be willing. God will help you do it. But we must be careful of pride, thinking, I know everything and I'm okay. Yes, we're okay because the Lord loves us, but we have not arrived yet as Christians. You never get to a point where, okay, now I can start focusing on what other people should change in their life. Because I'm okay. I'm a strong Christian. I'm solid. You never get to that point. You stay humble. If you want to lead, you must lead in humility. You must lead by changing, by showing. We're not afraid to acknowledge our weaknesses to each other. You know, when we stay humble, then we'll stop judging each other and comparing ourselves to each other and getting off track. Because as soon as you start looking around, you're taking your eyes off Jesus, and guess what? You're veering off your road. We need to get our eyes back on the Lord and say, Lord, here I am today. What can I do different today? What can I do for you today? What do you want for me today? And we get back there. So you approach the word. In that way, if we can have the next picture. You see, I was talking about roadworks earlier. It's like everywhere. Okay. Now, here on the right, these are like stop-goes. It's like 20 stop-goes between Kuruman and Kenar. It's crazy. But now we're riding on the right. On the left, you can see there are these poles that they've laid across the road they're working on there. I mean, imagine if you had to go veer to the left and you're going over that, probably going to damage your car and, you know, you're going to run into trouble. To the right there, I wouldn't go far right either. You have to be focused when you're traveling on that piece of road. You can't go left or right. That's one lane and it's quite narrow as well. So the word of God is like that very times, and that road often, that might be an analogy for our hearts. If we go to the next scripture, says the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is able to judge the ideas and thoughts of the heart. Hebrews 4 verse 12. A double-edged sword, it points to the Lord and shows us His heart, His will for us, and it points back at us as well. It shows us the heart. The word is like a mirror. When you spend time in the word, it's like a mirror. It shows up your heart. It shows up your motivations, often our wrong motivations. And that's where that willingness to change must be there. It's like, Lord, I realize I'm wrong in my feelings and my thoughts towards my colleague or my boss or whatever. No, You've called me to love my enemies. I mean, that guy's out to get me. But Lord, you know, I've been harboring this resentment, but Lord, You've called me to love them. And we must be willing to change. The word is like a mirror. You start reading there about how the Lord says, you know, turn the other cheek and love your neighbor and that. And you just know, okay, there's a bit of correction. There's a bit of a rebuke there. I've been wrong. Lord, please forgive me. I repent of that. Help me to love. Lord, I want to do what Your word says. Please give me the strength. Show me step by step. What can I do tomorrow to love my boss? Okay. Don't write him a rude email. Okay. I won't do that tomorrow. Okay. You know, step by step. Eventually you'll be playing golf together, but it takes baby steps. Okay. Baby steps. So it discerns the ideas and the intents of our heart. You see, because there's still some undesirable things in our heart. There's still some selfish desires in our heart that the Lord would want to work out. You know, the two dogs thing, our heart, if you want to look at that road as our heart, and there's a bad side, and then there's the side that the Lord has already worked on, and, you know, and that side's going to get wider until it's eventually the whole road. But for the time being, we need to allow the Lord to show us, to point there into our hearts. We need to be real with God. And you know what helps a lot? When we're real with each other, like in our small groups, that there's transparency and accountability and trust. We can grow to a place where, hey, I'm not ashamed to say this. I'm not some kind of angel. You know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I just want to tell you guys, I'm struggling with this thing. This thing in my heart, you know, I'm really like jealous, like in a bad way and whatever, Lord, you know, I'm asking God to help me with that. Won't you guys also please pray with me for that? The word says that when we confess our trespasses to one another and pray for each other, then we'll be healed. There's power in that transparency. But you know where it gets showed up in the word of God, when you're spending time in the word, this is like a mirror. When you're actually submitting yourself to godly teaching out of the word of God, it's like a mirror, it discerns our hearts. We all need open heart surgery when it comes to the things of God. Okay, allow the Lord to work in your heart. And then finally, there's a picture. Now, the vehicle that my dad got has got these amazing spotlights. And you can see there, it's like bright white. You put off those spotlights and you just go to your normal brights and you think there's something wrong with your lights. It's like just because your eyes are so adjusted to this like daylight in front of you. So it's quite awesome. And there, right there, you're in the middle. Remember that the first picture, just the middle of the Karoo there, no signs or anything. And I put you down there. You won't know where you are, which direction to start walking in. Now imagine there's that green road sign there. That would give you a good idea because there's a name of a town and a distance there. That'll help you a lot. Okay. Again, that's like the word of God. If you can have that scripture, you know it. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. Okay. Through God's word, He will show you also where your destination is. Now, we all share a common destination as believers, but also specifically in this lifetime. He will show you and reveal to you also through His word what He wants for your life. That town, that end destination that you were thinking of when you closed your eyes, in terms of where God wants you to be. He'll show you where that is. And he's not going to show you immediately all the linking roads to get there, but he'll show you also the next road to take. So it's a light to your path, but it's also a lamp to your feet. The word of God will direct you in your daily walk. This is the Logos word, the written word of God. Then you also get the Rhema word of God, the revelation word of God, the now word of God. Where you spend time in the word and you know that morning you just read something and it just jumped out at you and you know that, hey, that's for today. Maybe you already know what it's about, or maybe you just know, hey, I'm going to put that in my backpack for the day and I know I'm going to need it. The Lord shows you, you're going to need this word. You spend time meditating on that word. You know what? The enemy attacks us. He attacks us in our imagination. Every sin that we commit has first been birthed in our minds. If we can focus our mind on the word of God instead on the rubbish that the enemy wants to plant in our minds, we'll be much better off, and so will the rest of the world. So why don't we just get our scripture for the day, maybe purpose to meditate on one verse for the day, where you just keep that one verse that's part of what you read that day, and you take one verse out of it, and you choose to memorize that, and to kind of every hour or something, you know, between Psalms and whatever you're doing, you just recite that verse. And you just keep your mind stayed on God's word, which means keeping your mind stayed on God. The Bible says those whose minds are stayed on me will have perfect peace. I don't know if you ever feel like your peace is getting robbed. If the enemy just manages to get in and like messes up your day. Well, there is a peace that you can have despite the enemy's best efforts if you stay your thoughts on the Lord. Get a memory verse for the day. There's another challenge for the week. Okay, so some of you must go and buy new Bibles this week, and others, all of us are challenged, it's an easy one, to work on a memory verse for the day. I challenge you just to do it for this week and see what it does for you. If you do it faithfully every day this week and you really feel after this week that it didn't benefit you in your faith at all, then you can leave it. But I'll challenge you on that. I think you'll be hard-pressed to find someone who says, well, I memorized a verse every day this week, a different verse, and I recited it every couple of hours during the day, and it really didn't benefit me at all. I didn't experience any peace. You know, it just like robbed my peace. I couldn't focus on my work. You see, no. Okay, you can write me a complaint if that's the case. All right, so that's really the wrap of what I wanted to share tonight. I just want to thank you for your attention. I know that you know these scriptures that I shared tonight. I just trust the Lord to bring us back to the basics again, and where we just where he can just reignite or at least fuel the passion that we have for his word. Just more and more, because I know it's going to bless you in your faith, and there's massive knock-on effect when there are men and women of faith walking around on campus and in Cape Town. Okay, because God, it somehow it has that ripple effect. So if we can pray together, just want to trust the Lord just for that deposit, that impartation. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your word first and foremost. Again, Lord, we are so privileged to have been given your word, Father, that we can know you in this way as well. You know, Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that we can talk to you and hear your voice. We want to thank you for prayer. We want to thank you for your word, Lord. These are really two pillars of our faith, Lord, and foundations, Lord, that we cannot depart from, Lord God. So, Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll help us in our personal time with you, but also corporately, that we will just more and more, that your word will be on our lips, Lord, that we can discuss with each other. And Father, we just really want to be able to learn from your word. And we know that we can learn from each other through your word as well. And so, Father, that you'll make us a people, Lord, who loved your word, who loved who love to get around your word, Father, who don't miss a gathering where your word is going to be shared, Father, where we can connect with you in that way. So we just want to thank you, Lord. I pray a blessing, and I pray, Lord, that you'll just come and deposit in you, Lord, a hunger for your word in this congregation, Lord. Just more, Lord, more of your word, Father. Lord, and we just want to thank you for the transforming power of your word. We need to change, Lord. We know, Lord, your word teaches us, Lord, about you and your way for us. It teaches us about mankind and our depravity and our lostness, Father. And we want to thank you, Lord God, that you have saved us, Lord God, and that you have given us and blessed us with your word, Father. And your word, that mirror, Lord, held before us, that shows us, Lord, where, Lord, you want to come and change our lives. And I pray, Lord, also just for a willingness and a desire to change, a desire to learn more, a teachability for each one here. In Jesus' name, Father. And Lord, that we'd also ultimately really just more and more just be disciplined in doing your word, Father. Not just hearing, Father, but being doers of your word, Lord. And yeah, we just want to thank you for your faithfulness, that you watch over your word, and you're always ready to perform it. I pray, Lord God, that before we consult men, that we'd first consult you, and even through your word, Lord, that you would challenge us to stand on your word and to put our faith where our mouths are, Lord God, and that we can really, Father, live by your word, Lord, and that we can give your word, Lord, preeminence in our lives, Father. Lord God, that we can, you know, really, I pray also for this week, for those that will take up the challenge, Lord, to spend more time in your word, Lord, to even memorize verses, Father. I pray that you really bless them in that and help them with that. And I just thank you, Lord God, that I can declare, Lord, they will experience a peace that they haven't known, Lord God, as they focus more and more upon you, Lord God. Other things will just fade into insignificance, Lord God. Problems and challenges will just seem that much smaller, Lord God, as they focus on you through your word. I just want to thank you for that. I bless each one here under the sound of my voice. And I just thank you, Lord, for the privilege I've been able to share tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.